James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Next weekend, America will look back to our founding in 1776. But what is the future of freedom in America?
The current penchant towards socialism is compounded upon at least a generation of miseducation of the American populace.
Discover how the heirs of Karl Marx still threaten your freedom today and what you can do about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Freedom is in a precarious spot in America. Next weekend, we celebrate America's independence. But the solid foundation of God-given liberties that our founders recognized and enshrined into law faces opposition from multiple directions. On today's program, we will examine that foundation and how it's being eroded. The leftist totalitarians in our educational institutions, our media, and in some parts of our government want to tear down America and rebuild it along Marxist lines. They work constantly to smuggle in socialism by endlessly repackaging and rebranding it. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Everything that you've ever seen about Cuba is a lie.
I was looking online and all I saw was a beautiful country. Very colorful photos with all the classic American cars. To know that this is a socialist country, the pieces didn't quite fit to me.
What happens when four young Americans visit Cuba for themselves and see firsthand what communism has done to a formerly prosperous island? For example, how easy is it to fill up your car with gas?
Day two, trying to get gas. We're in the biggest city in the country. We're in the most modern city in the country. And this is the beginning of the line to get gas. Here we go. You'll notice people are sitting in their cars. These aren't parked cars. These are people that are sitting and waiting. It is probably 100 degrees outside.
But perpetual gas and food shortages are just the tip of the iceberg.
Look around you. The effects of socialism are everywhere. Crumbling infrastructure and disgusting living conditions. That is what socialism has brought to Cuba. Maybe the socialists in America should take a short trip, a short 90-mile trip, and come here and say they want this in America.
Socialism never worked anywhere. It didn't work in Cuba, didn't work in Venezuela, didn't work in Eastern Europe, didn't work in the Soviet Union. China has prospered by abandoning communism and socialism as an economic system. They've kept the power of the state. They've kept the dictatorship politically. But they have gone to a state-run capitalist system.
Socialism is popular in America now. What do you think of socialism?
It's very popular.
Yeah.
Wow. But now for us, no, it's good. For Cuban people now.
Not good?
No, my friend. No, it's possible petroleum.
Yeah.
Nothing. For these people, no, it's possible go for the working.
Socialism never works. You notice that people aren't trying to break down the doors to get into Venezuela. They're not trying to break down the doors to get into Cuba. There was an iron curtain not to keep Westerners out of Eastern Europe, but to keep Eastern Europeans in.
In the real world, socialism and communism have failed everywhere. But critics note it is widespread in America's schools.
It's the product of this one-sided, brainwashing education system masquerading as an education system. If you look at the polls, you'll see that most of the people who have a favorable opinion towards socialism are young. They're millennials or younger. The generation, the busters and the boomers don't. And It's because they've never been taught anything but socialism.
So the current penchant towards socialism is compounded upon at least a generation of miseducation of the American populace. We have young people who are unaware of the Berlin Wall, who are unaware of the murderous penchant of Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot. And so that miseducation has laid the foundation for the romanticized ideas of socialism to be advanced. And so when you drill down and you say, wait a minute, how can you advance the idea of socialism when Venezuela is happening right now? You have a formerly wealthy country now has a government-imposed starvation diet that's happening in the nation of Venezuela. And so some would try to say, no, we don't mean that socialism. We mean this other form of socialism, looking at Norway and Sweden and others. But those countries are not true socialistic countries in the common understanding or in the true sense of socialism. They have capitalist-based markets with a pretty expansive welfare state, but it's another one of those examples of bait and switch. So they're using an inaccurate depiction to present a romanticized view of socialism, but everywhere socialism has been tried, it has failed miserably, and there have been millions of people who have literally become casualties of that failed idea.
For communists, socialism is just the final transitionary step to communism. I tell my students, beware the person on the far left, the Marxist left, who's talking about democracy. Lenin said, democracy, we believe in democracy. How do we define democracy? Democracy means equality. And in his way, class equality, economic equality. For today's modern communists or Marxists, they trumpet equality too, but they mean all sorts of other equality.
In 5,500 years of recorded history, you cannot point to any socialistic nation that has increased freedom and increased prosperity for the people. And yet right now, 75% of students in college support socialism, think it's the best form of government. Now, there's nothing historically you can point to, there's nothing statistically you can point to, but that's what they've been taught. We have done a great job of paying state money for indoctrination. And so you now have a group of what are called social justice warriors who will take to the streets over minimum wage or take to the streets over any perceived violation of anything that contradicts what they think is right. And they've been told that you should reject all speech that contradicts what we have told you. And so we are at a precipitous time in America. There is now a higher percentage who do believe in violent responses than we've ever had in our lifetime or in recent generations.
The progressive left has essentially employed a street mob to carry out its political agenda. It's frightening people. It's claiming, you know what, you need to change government. We need a new president, and there will not be peace, and there will not be a night without fire until you do. That's why you had Kamala Harris and staffers on both her team and Joe Biden's team bailing out these rioters. Right. On the claim that they were concerned about people who were just trying to peacefully protest, but they knew better. They are bailing out very violent people to be very violent to their fellow citizens. Now, this is not unusual. This is how bad people try to undo republics all the time. That's what happened in Rome under Sulla, street mobs trying to scare people into knuckling under.
Socialism is making inroads in our country, but not always under that name, but rather under the name of being woke.
What's taking place in America, and a lot of people are not aware, and with the political left, they talk about wokeness, that they are woke. This could not be further from the truth. These are dangerous, deceived individuals who have no connection to reality. In fact, they would argue that there's no true reality, that you get to make up your own. I think that once they achieve their agenda as far as destroying Christianity and traditional structures and institutions, they will go after other religions as well. And they will also go after other people, because at the end of the day, it's about taking down America. It's not about improving the lives of racial and ethnic minorities. It's not about really making everyone equal. It's about taking down America. They are dangerous. They have Marxist roots. And they have disguised themselves under the umbrella of social justice. And one of the most dangerous things is that there are many well-meaning Christians, especially in our churches, that have allowed them to get a foothold because they talk about justice. But what people need to remember is that biblical justice is not the same as social justice.
The often repeated maxim by Karl Marx came from Goethe's Faust. It came from the lips of the devil figure, Mephistopheles. And the quote is this: "Everything that exists deserves to perish."
This is a philosophy that's about tearing down, leveling, burning the foundation, leveling the house to where you have Marx standing there in the smoldering embers saying, "Now we are ready to begin." So anybody that thinks that this is a philosophy that's just about helping one another or sharing the wealth or redistributing wealth, they do not understand Marx and Marxism.
It's heartbreaking that that's just a reality for the Cuban people. They don't know natural rights. Even more so heartbreaking is that there are Americans here that would have that governance brought here.
When the progressives talk about social justice, they're really talking about the Marxist ideal of social justice. When they're talking about equity, they're not caring about equal opportunity. They've rejected equal opportunity. They've rejected a colorblind society. They have rejected assimilation. What they want is to destroy America, its religion, everything that we hold dear.
Everywhere we look today, it seems that chaos is surrounding us. Our society is in the midst of constant, tumultuous political battles. Our rights of religious freedom and freedom of speech are dwindling. Countless amounts of innocent blood are being shed in the abomination of abortion. And our cultural institutions, such as marriage and the family, are being eroded. What can we do as Christians when it seems we're pinned in a corner? At a crucial time, when our nation's foundations are under attack, we need to call our nation back to its Christian heritage, now more than ever. George Washington, the father of our country, said in his first inaugural address that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. If we are wise, we will return back to those biblical principles that our founders so closely followed. Dr. D. James Kennedy explains in this portion of his message, Returning to Our Roots.
Today, it becomes exceedingly offensive for anyone to mention that this is a Christian nation. Well, let's go back to the very first day when George Washington took the oath of office with his hand on a Bible. What was his first act after that? He bent over and kissed the Bible. "Oh, my dear Mr. Washington, that is not a proper thing for a secular government to do." The second thing he did was to lead the entire Senate and House of Representatives to the Episcopal Church for a two-hour service of worship, enough to make any secularist turn over in his grave. And if that's not enough, the same Congress, the first Congress that gave us the First Amendment to the Constitution, elected chaplains and appointed salaries for them to be paid by the government for the Senate and the House, and for all of the branches of the armed forces. And if that was not enough, they then passed the Northwest Ordinance. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar with that, but you ought to be. That was the ordinance that opened up all the Northwest territories. Now, they weren't found out in Washington and Oregon today, but what we would call the central United States in our day. But that's one of the four principal documents upon which our government was founded, according to the U.S. government office. They are the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederacy, the Constitution, and the Northwest Ordinance, because they also passed the law that no state subsequently coming into the Union could have in its state constitution any language hostile to that found in the Northwest Ordinance. So that determined what would happen in every state constitution after that. And in there it says this: religion, morality, and knowledge being essential to the happiness of mankind and to good government, schools should be established in order that we might have religion, morality, and knowledge. Well, we got rid of religion with the Bible and prayer, and we got rid of morality with the Ten Commandments, and we have subsequently almost gotten rid of knowledge as well. No, they did not give us a secular nation. They did not believe that education and other civil matters should be conducted without the religious element. They believed it was essential to the well-being of this country. Well, if we have lost something, and we obviously have, we need to ask ourselves the question, where did we lose it? And to find it, we need to go back exactly to where we lost it. And to do that, we would have to go back to 1947, the same time that Harry Truman said, "This is a Christian nation." At that time, the Supreme Court was considering what has come to be known as the Everson decision. And an ACLU lawyer by the name of Leo Pfeffer, whose presentation had been financed and researched by the ACLU, presented a decision to Justice Hugo Black. And in that decision, for the first time in the history of American jurisprudence, it included the phrase, "the wall of separation between church and state," and also the phrase that this was a secular nation. Never before a part of American jurisprudence. But that's where the decision was made, and the ACLU has used that Everson decision of 1947 in one subsequent decision after another, getting rid of all of these other things, all on the basis that there is a wall of separation between church and state. And I trust that there's no one here so benighted that they don't know where that phrase really came from instead of the American Constitution, which it's not in. It came, of course, from a private letter by Thomas Jefferson in 1802 to the Danbury Baptists in Connecticut. And he said that there had been established a wall of separation between church and state. That was not the case. That was not part of anything governmental. It was a private letter. And until Everson, it was never part of our jurisprudence. You see, the problem with a wall is that it prevents people on either side equally. The first 10 amendments were all given for the one single purpose, and that is restraining the power of this newly created Leviathan. Have you noticed in the last several decades, the only time you ever hear anything about separation of church and state is when they're talking about what churches can't do, what ministers can't do, what Christians can't do, what religious people can't do. They've completely turned it all the way around backward. So instead of protecting the people from the government, now it's protecting the government from any religious people at all. A total reversal of the meaning of it. My friends, America is in dire trouble today. And when a nation sets its face in opposition to the Almighty, it is asking to feel the wrath of God. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, and the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And judgment will begin at the house of God. What have you done to advance the cause for which this nation was founded and for which the pilgrims landed on these shores? The glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. In our generation, that marvelous patrimony is falling through our fingers like sifting sand. and your children or grandchildren are going to come to live in a godless land.
Dr. Kennedy just shared bedrock truths about American history and the foundation of our rights and freedoms. Yet, where are you hearing about that today? Where are the Christians who are boldly standing for truth and defending freedom? Over the past year, D. James Kennedy Ministries has produced and broadcast an award-winning documentary special exposing George Soros and his agenda. We've peeled back the veil of gender confusion. We have exposed the barbaric agenda of Planned Parenthood and its enablers on the left. And we have a great deal of important work to do moving forward. My friends, it costs millions of dollars to produce and air quality programs, especially in the face of opposition. Only with God's blessing and with your help can we continue this vital work. We are almost at the end of our fiscal year, and it's paramount that we have our financial house in order so that we can enter into our new fiscal year on solid footing. Some very generous friends of this ministry have established the $150,000 Proclaim Freedom Matching Challenge. If you give a generous and much-needed gift before midnight on June 30th, it will be matched dollar for dollar up to $150,000, essentially doubling your impact. So please don't delay. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. We will thank you for your generous donation by sending you my brand new book just published this month called The War on Truth, Biblical Light for the Battle of Our Time. In this book, John Rabe and I have written more than 100 short, digestible commentaries on the key moral, social, and political issues of today, all from a biblical perspective. We cover socialism, the left's war on freedom, and much, much more in these succinct, power-packed chapters. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $100 or more, we will send you the book plus our new DVD program, Hope for the Future of Freedom, featuring experts like former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who opposed socialist teachers' unions in his own state, as well as other interviews and features pointing the way toward defeating cultural Marxism and reclaiming our children and grandchildren's freedom. Additionally, we will also include a newly published sermon booklet from Dr. D. James Kennedy, one of his most important messages, Will the Church Forget? This is a powerful and prophetic sermon. That's my new book, The War on Truth, Biblical Light for the Battle of Our Time, as our thanks for your generous donation, and the book plus our special DVD program, Hope for the Future of Freedom, and Dr. Kennedy's sermon booklet, Will the Church Forget? As our thanks for your gift of $100 or more. But with the June 30 deadline almost here, please act right away. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. The long-standing mission of this ministry is to teach and nurture the followers of Jesus Christ, to equip and encourage believers to live out their faith, and to defend religious liberty. All of this flows from our first priority, to proclaim the good news of the gospel throughout the earth. It's not by accident that we spend time warning about the dangers of socialism, the woke social justice movement, and the cancel culture. Because all of these things are attacks on freedom, and they undermine the liberty given to us by God. As the scripture tells us, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And proclaiming that freedom is central to our mission. How is it with you? Do you know that freedom? Political freedom is but a faint shadow of true, eternal spiritual freedom. And American freedom relies on that spiritual freedom as its foundation. And here's why. You and I are both sinners. We are imprisoned by our sin and deserve God's just and righteous condemnation. We deserve only His punishment. But God sent His Son Jesus to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus came to earth to live a perfect and sinless life and to endure God's wrath against sin in our place through His death on the cross. He was the substitute for all who would put their faith in Him. He died, but thanks be to God, He rose from the grave, victorious over sin and death. And you can now have eternal life by turning away from your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ and His death on your behalf. If you want that freedom in Christ, pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I admit my sinfulness, recognizing that I deserve only your punishment. But Lord, I gladly accept the free offer of salvation you have given me in Jesus Christ, your Son. I ask you to come into my heart, save me, grant me eternal life, and fill me with your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer with me today, we have a vital resource we'd like to send you at no cost or obligation to you. It's the book Beginning Again, written by Dr. D. James Kennedy to help new believers grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus. Contact us to receive your copy today, and may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us. And here's a look at the next truths that transform.
The American Revolution comes out through the Reformation from the Hebrew Scriptures, above all Exodus and Deuteronomy. The French Revolution has its sources in the French Enlightenment, Diderot, Voltaire, Rousseau. And then you go on down the line. They have a very different view of humanity.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.